Hey, welcome back, high school hockey fans, to another edition of This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey. I'm Mike Hammond. Along with me, the Burglar Boys, Del Scanlon, Mike Trzynski, and you, the listener, as well. Well, plenty of games been played in the last week, and we got to go out and see some of them. And Mike Trzynski, you had the opportunity to go see a pretty good one. Wausau West and Waukesha got together, two teams that were in the top 10. And what did you see?
MJ, I traveled up to Marathon Park in Wausau to watch the Waukesha Wings take on the home team, Wausau West Warriors. West wasn't a very good host. They scored three goals in the first period, all of them by Josh Bolin for the natty hat trick in the first 12 minutes of the game. Waukesha cut it to one in the second, but then West put it away with two goals in later on in the period. They outskated them. Played three lines. Waukesha basically for the most part played two, although their third line got in there every now and again. Shots were about 2-1, 44-24. In that particular game, West, and I had mentioned it in my game story that, Waukesha just picked a bad day to play against Wausau West. The day before, West had gotten handled pretty easily by Spash, so, maybe a little bit of a payback, and they took it out on the Wings. The final was 5-2, guys.
What did you think of Ian Malcolmson? How much of a factor was he in that game?
You know, Malcolmson played well. He had two goals, both of Waukesha's goals. He's very fast forward. He plays both ends. He's not just an offensive player, but he does play defense as well. Sometimes you don't see that in big name scorers. He's definitely going to, I would think, probably be a player of the year finalist this year down in Madison.
I wouldn't doubt that. I got the chance to watch him last year as a junior, and I came away very impressed with what I did see of Ian Malcolmson. And so that possibility, Michael, as you were just talking about, yeah, I could possibly see that as well. Going to get a good look at him tomorrow night when he takes on Janesville, so probably he'll get a couple chances to see him this year, so we'll see what happens.
Yeah, it was it looked early on like West was going to kind of blow the Wings out of the game, but not really. You know, even when the score was 5-1, you always felt like they were just a couple big plays away. Now I sound like John Madden from getting back into the game, and they made it 5-2, but that was quite late in the game. That was with about 4 minutes left, and they just didn't have enough horses to get any closer than that. But it was a good game. Both teams played hard. There was a second period. There were quite a few penalties. There was a 2 and a 10. Well, actually, it was a slashing minor and then a 10-minute misconduct. And there was, in the third period, there was a 5-minute major for a head contact. So the bodies were flying around pretty good. There was a lot of hard hitting, and it was an entertaining game, for sure.
Okay, Mike.
Can I expound a little bit on this Wausau West business?
You sure can.
I mean, I wasn't at the game before, and I don't think you were at the Spash versus West game either. But you mentioned that, you know, Waukesha caught West after being handled pretty easy. You mentioned that, you know, Spash handled, or however you said it again, Spash beating up on Wausau West. And this kind of, I'm not sure what to think about Wausau West now, because you mentioned the shots, you know, in the game against Waukesha. Well, against Stevens Point, I mean, West outshot Spash 43-22. So that's almost exactly 2-1 shot advantage. And then on Saturday against University School, West outshot the University School 46-20. So, I mean, like, the same Wausau West team that I saw put, you know, 40-some shots on Eau Claire Memorial, they've been putting 40-some shots on every goalie, but for some reason their shots aren't finding the back of the net. I mean, are the goalies there playing that good, or are they just do they just not have goal scorers there at Wausau West? What are your thoughts there, Michael?
Well, I actually had that conversation with one of the fans from Wausau West, and his comment was, we have some good solid forwards, but we really don't have a pure goal scorer like Nate Condon or somebody like that.
Or like a Kyle Lee?
Kyle Lee, sure. There's, you know, a couple. There's half a dozen in the last 10 years that I think we could probably call pure goal scorers that score 25, 30 goals a year. I think what you're going to see from West is they're going to have a whole bunch of guys with 10, 12, 15, but not really the one go-to guy. But on the flip side then, you know, if one guy's off, most likely somebody else will be able to pick it up. They just haven't, there's been a little inconsistency here, especially this week, losing 2 of 3, but in their defense, they played some pretty good clubs. So, I mean, well, it's early yet? I don't know.
It's interesting because the most shots West has allowed this season is 25, and the fewest they've taken is 43.
Yes, they're out shooting every team, you know, almost 2-1.
Yep.
I mean, you can say, well, you know, shots on goal, the matter, but it's usually an indication that you're controlling play and the puck is in the puck is in your offensive zone more often than not. If you're able to pump that many shots on net and not allow that many on the other end, it means you're playing most of the game in your offensive zone.
Yeah, I would agree with that. That's pretty much what I saw at the game. And yeah, it's just a matter of, you know, maybe as the season goes along, they'll get a little better. I don't know. You know, it's hard to explain, I guess, when you consistently outshoot the other team and you're thinking, man, we should have about 8 goals, and you end up with 3 or 4 or whatever.
Or one. These 2 games, there was one.
Yeah. Well, in the Spash game, Trebatowski played a really good game. Obviously, he had 42 saves, I think. There's 43 saves. You know, in that game, maybe they were just run into a hot goalie. So, I don't know. You know, hard to say. Time will tell. And all those cliches that we could probably throw in here.
Playing one game at a time. You win some, you lose some. Some are tied. Sometimes it rains.
Practice makes perfect.
All right, moving on.
Kind of like the, what was the article that was up about the Trasher, what was that?
The Jinx?
Trasher Jinx.
Oh, yeah. I got a phone call from Jeff Rashan today, but I didn't get a chance to talk to him. He just left a message. So he's going to probably hook me up with all the stats I need to know to either further my argument or completely tear it down.
If anybody could do it, it would be him.
He would have the stats for that.
Oh, yeah, no doubt about that. We lean on him pretty heavily when it comes to stuff like that.
Hey, one of the things before we move on, I had the chance to, you know, we talk a lot about these top teams, and a lot of those top teams out of the north, I don't get to see a whole lot of them being down here in Wisconsin unless they make the trip down here. And I got the chance to see the Central Wisconsin Storm play not being at state, and Pete Susan's brought his girls down on last Friday night to play, and I tell you what, guys, I came away very impressed with this team. I mean, they move the puck awfully well. and it's a very, very sound when they go on offense, their breakouts, their defensive coverage. I came away very impressed with this team. So, you know, sometimes you vote for these teams just off the scores and the word of mouth, but I got the chance to watch this team actually play before, you know, coming down to state or any situation like that or playoffs. And on this night, I was they beat the Rock County Fury 9-0. But I came away pretty impressed with what Pete Susans has going on for a girls team up there with Central Wisconsin Storm. They really, really look sharp.
To be fair, yeah, when was the last time you could say the Central Wisconsin Storm didn't look sharp?
Well, they always look sharp at state, and that's usually the other time I see them.
It's because they're always there.
That's true. They're always there. But this was an early season game, and I got the chance to see them, and I came away very impressed. And, you know, sometimes you see when you're a team that's kind of like being on the rise and you want to gauge yourself to see about really how much you got to go. And that was kind of the situation I saw on Friday night with the Fury playing the Storm. You know, Fury made state last year. I mean, they won a good amount of games last year. They got out of the chute pretty decent this year. But then you're going to play an upper echelon team and try to see really where to kind of gauge and really see whereabouts you're at, and you get a little reminder that, yeah, we still got some work to do.
I think that's what
they came across the other night. Well, let's move on to our Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine Games of the Week. The Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine provides cutting-edge, personalized sports performance and injury prevention programs, training with world-class experts, state-of-the-art facilities and technology. We had a boys and a girls game of the week, and boys, Antigo took on Spash, and Trasher, he was there to cover it like a blanket. Michael.
Yes, sir. KB Willett Arena, Stevens Point. Antigo visits the Spash Panthers. Antigo started out the game. First period, they own that, baby. I was very impressed with number 4, Tyler Husnick of Antigo. He was all over the ice, made some nice plays, got an assist. Antigo scored a goal in the first, one in the second to take a 2-0 lead to the locker room after 34 minutes of play. But the third period was the Cole Caulfield show, and we'll talk about him a little bit more later. He scored 3 goals, including a power play, even strength, and an empty netter at the very end, and Spash ended up winning that game 4-2. And the inverse of what we talked about in the last session, where West was getting all of these shots on goal and not scoring many goals, the Panthers had 16 shots and scored 4 goals. So they were very efficient with their shot selection. And they got outshot in that game 31-16. But Caulfield, definitely the difference. He had 3 goals in that game. He had the hat trick, and that was the first game I've seen him. He looks like Ohio State commit, honest, you know. I mean, he's definitely the real deal. He's still not real big, but he's very fast, very talented, sees the ice, has a very good knowledge of the game, basically probably from the womb almost, with his dad, Paul, being the hockey guy that he is from way, way, way back when. And they just outplayed Antigo probably in the second half of the game and came away with a 4-2 win.
I wasn't at the game. You were there. But, I mean, just looking at the raw stats, you know, where Antigo controlling the first period, you know, shooting Spash 11-5 in the first, out shooting them 13-4 in the second. And one of the reasons last year and the year before that I had thought that Antigo was doing so well is they played such a high tempo game, and they were able to do that because they were the first Antigo teams in a long time that actually had a third line that they could throw out there for regular shifts. it's my understanding that their third line, if they do use one, it is not nearly as frequently as it has been the last 2 years, and that perhaps their other two lines tend to maybe kind of wore out in that game.
Yeah, I think what happened is the third line got to play a shift here and there, you know, maybe a couple of period, and seems to be that the breaking point almost for a team with two lines tends to be early in the third period. I don't know why exactly that is. I mean, I know that you get more tired and everything if you're out there more frequently, but it just seems to be that's like where they hit the wall, and it kind of all goes downhill from there. And if you look at the scoring in the third period, that's almost exactly what it shows. They scored 45 seconds in, 2 minutes in, and then it was tied, and I think Anigo got a little bit of a breath back, and it stayed tied for another 9 minutes, and then Spash scored two in the last 6 minutes to win 4-2. So I think you're exactly right, Bergler. They just, the third line maybe wasn't completely there. I don't know, you know, if he doesn't have the players that he had in the past, you know, it makes it a little tough. I know that. I think I saw that in a couple games that I've seen this year where the coach maybe just wasn't quite sure about playing the third line frequently, you know, maybe was afraid that bad things were going to happen, and I don't know if that's the case with Matt and Anigo here or what the deal is. But of course, you know, a big part of that is Caulfield. I mean, he can make a lot of teams look bad, you know. Not that Anigo looked bad. They played very good for the majority of the game, but they just had that one stretch where Spash was just that much better and got enough goals to kind of put the game away.
Well, I mean, that's we all knew that, you know, this year, I mean, Anigo, you know, Alex Nagel was a big loss. Wickersheim, you know, another four on that line. I mean, those were two key players that they lost. But I think, you know, what else they lost, I mean, they lost the Bunnell. It was why am I drawing a blank on his first name? I coached the kid when he was a PU for crap. Gavin Bunnell, Aaron Verhagen, Jake Rohde. I mean, they lost. They lost, in addition to their top two players, they lost their third line. They lost the defenseman. I mean, they lost the depth that they had. They had a lot of seniors graduate last year, and they lost the depth. And I don't. They got a lot of young guys this year, and I think it's gonna take him a while to be able to get that third line up to where they can skate. Because, like I said, last year Anigo played a very high tempo, very fast paced game. And you can only do that if you're pretty much rotating three lines regularly. So he's got to get back. Mr. Bornemann has to get them back to that point, get those young kids developed where you can feel confident throwing them out there for regular shifts.
Well, yeah, and
otherwise,
I'll have to
call him a butthead again. I only say that because I'm going to be at the rink tomorrow night, and he always listens to this podcast, and I want him to have something to yell at me about.
Well, right, and to your point, you lose the depth. You got to get it from somewhere the next season, and they can't most likely, well, they had to. They came from the JV program, or they maybe came from the youth program if it was a bantam that could come up and play varsity or JV or whatever. And it just takes a little time to trust the kids, to get them to know the system well enough to be successful. And, you know, who's to say that 2 weeks from now he couldn't have a solid third line out there and clicking on all 8 or 10 or 12 cylinders, how many they have in the Red Robin machine, and all of this will be a moot point. So, I mean, who knows?
The Red Robin machine. I like that.
There you go.
The big Red Robin machine.
Yeah, don't, Don't confuse it for the big red machine in baseball. Okay. Girls hockey had the Badger Lightning taking on the Metro Lynx. Del Scanlon was there, the man on the scene, and he's got a report for us. Delmar?
Thanks, MJ. Yeah, got to go down and watch the conference openers for both the Metro Lynx against the Badger Lightning at Madison Ice Arena. And this was a game that the Lynx came out quick there in the first period, and you actually saw Julia Dragoo pick up two goals and an assist in that period as they took a 3-0 lead in the first period. The second goal that they scored that period, though, they were able to capitalize on a shorthanded opportunity when the Lightning made a mistake in their own defensive end, and they were able to get a pass back up to the high slot and just got it into the net very quickly. And you could just see a little bit of the momentum really pick up for the Lynx at that point. And they scored another goal, you know, to close out the period, and then another one in the second, and another one in the third, and win the game 5-0. They actually outshot the Lightning 56-11 during the game. And so Erin Webb was able to pick up her first win of the season in her first game with an 11-save shutout. But this, you know, was a game that was dominated by the Lynx. Lightning, on their side, they were short players. They have about four of them that are out with injuries until right around Christmas going into the new year, hoping to get them back. And hopefully that'll help them out a little bit going into that part of the season. But they're going to have to battle through the month of December short on players. And that was our Mayo Clinic Sport Girls Game of the Week.
Tough for the Badger Lightning to get stuff going, get the season started when you're down quite a few players, the injuries.
That's what Coach Kapner was talking. He goes, yeah, you happen to pick the first game we're playing with down, and he was suffering a lot of injuries. So it's getting the things together. And, you know, they're a fairly young team. They're still going to have to learn to play together as the season goes.
Well, those were our Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine Games of the Week. They provide cutting-edge, personalized sports performance and injury prevention programs, training with world-class experts, state-of-the-art facilities, and technology. Our Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine Games of the Week, brought to you by the Mayo Clinic. Let's move on to the Radisson-Madison Players of the Week. And they are the premier Westside Hotel in Madison and the official state tournament home of Wisconsin Prep Hockey. And who would like to tell us who the winners are? And see, Junior, you didn't note that here. Who's going to...
Actually, it says right after Radisson-Madison Players of the Week -
Burglar.
Oh. Ta-da!
I thought I did finally found a flaw in Junior's game, but I guess not.
Oh, no. He's more efficient than the rest of us combined. I should proceed then with the players.
he's from your loins, so yeah, of course.
Well, we don't talk about, you know. Anyway, on the boys' side, you may have heard us talk about him earlier. You will probably hear us talk about him later and for most of the season. Our Radisson-Madison Boys Player of the Week is Cole Caulfield from the Stevens Point Area Senior High, the Spash Panthers. In the game that Trasher was at, Mr. Caulfield had three goals in the 4-2 Spash victory over Anago in our Game of the Week. He followed that up on Thursday with three goals and an assist when, as Trasher said, as Spash dismantled Wausau West on Thursday. And then to round things out on Saturday in Middleton, a 6-2 win for Spash over Middleton, Mr. Caulfield had a hand in all of the scoring with two goals and four assists. So that's what? Eight goals and five assists this week for Cole Caulfield, our Radisson-Madison Boys Player of the Week. Our Girls Player of the Week only played two games, so totals won't be quite the same, but a similar impact for her team. Amanda Sargent from the Northland Pines Eagles, in a 4-2 win over the Lakeshore Thunder on Friday. She had 3 goals and an assist. And in a 5-2 win over Fox Cities on Saturday, she had 4 goals. So 7 goals and an assist in the 2 games for Amanda Sargent and the Northland Pines Eagles, our girls' Radisson Madison Player of the Week.
Cole Caulfield's numbers, you look at the level of a competition there, those are some pretty staggering numbers.
Yes, with him and Mr. Trevatowski and net, I was used to say that it was a good formula for like mite or squirt hockey. If you had a good goalie and one dominant player who could score goals, you know, you could ride that and have a pretty successful team at mites or squirts.
Mm-hmm.
Hard to do that at the high school level. It usually takes a little more than, you know, a hot goalie and one goal scorer. But I didn't see the rest of the Spash team, but the formula seems to be working for them this year.
Well, Bergler, just to expound on that a little bit, they actually, their first line, if I remember this correctly, was a sophomore, and who was Caulfield as a sophomore, and 2 freshmen. And it sounds like the 2 freshmen are going to be pretty good players. So they have a lot of solid players. They have some 4-year players, good leadership on the team. They, you know, it's not, I mean, it seems like on paper it's just Caulfield, but they play together well, and they got a nice squad. And even though the Anago fans last year didn't think that Cole was tall enough to attend Ohio State, he certainly is good enough to attend Ohio State.
He has 12 of their goals this season. The rest of the team combined also has 12.
Balanced scoring, 50-50.
You know, and then on the girls' side, you look at Amanda Sargent from Northland Pines. I mean, those are some pretty good numbers as well. And, you know, both of them very well deserving this week. Our Radisson Madison Players of the Week.
Yeah, I think Amanda Sargent, is she a senior now? Because I know we've been...
She's
been getting a Player of the Week at least once every season.
Yeah,
it seems like forever.
I believe she is a senior.
She's not a 5th-year senior, although it seems like it maybe at times. She's been playing forever.
Yeah.
No, she's a senior, and she's a very good player, well-deserving.
She has 13 goals on the season, and the rest of the Pines squad has 7.
Non-balanced scoring.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, they have to start knocking in some of her rebounds.
Well, the goalie's going to have to stop them.
Oh, okay.
That's true. Well, we talked about our individuals. Now let's talk about teams, top tens. Bill Jr. has the top 10 boys and girls. We didn't have one last week, so this is the first top 10 since play has begun on this 2016-2017 season. And with some teams winning and losing, we've had some movement in the top 10 for both sides. And Bill Jr., well, let's just go ahead and let you tell everybody about it.
Yes, we did not have a top 10 last week because not everybody had played yet, and it didn't seem fair to redo the preseason top 10 when it was still a few teams preseason. So here we are, the first, I don't know, real top 10 of the season. Boys, number 1 is Hudson, 2 is Spash, 3 is Wausau West, 4 Appleton United, 5 Eau Claire Memorial, 6 USM, 7 Waukesha, 8 Anago, 9 Middleton, 10 Nina Menasha Hortonville. Honorable mention for the boys, Bayport, Eau Claire North, Kenosha, New Richmond, Notre Dame, and Waupun. There was a tie, so there's 6 teams in the honorable mention this week instead of the traditional 5. For the girls, Central Wisconsin takes the top spot, followed by Bay Area, Hayward Spooner at 3rd, Eau Claire Altoona at 4th, Fond du Lac at 5th, Hudson is 6th, St. Croix Valley is 7th, USM is 8th, Rock County is 9th, Northland Pines is 10th, and Honor Alaska brings up the honorable mention for the girls.
Well, guys, what do you think of what you see here?
I think send all your hate mail to Trasher at WisconsinPrepHockey.net.
Hudson takes over the top spot. Wausau West didn't fall too far, but Spash, what a jump. From
Burglar,
preseason number 9 to number 2.
Burglar, I just don't want to hear any hate mail about Southeast bias from any physicians.
Well, it's hard at this point of the season, MJ. You said, you know, a lot of teams jumping. And, you know, you'd think with the schedule they've played, Spash would be number one, but there's so many teams that they don't have any teams in common yet this year. It's just, it's hard. Mm-hmm. So everybody's still just kind of feeling it out. They're going to be a good game for Hudson. Number one plays Appleton United, number four, on Saturday this week at UW River Falls. So that'll be a, my memory's a little fuzzy, but I believe that's a championship game rematch, isn't it?
You talking about a sectional final?
No, I'm talking about state tournament.
Hudson and AU was the state championship game last year.
So yeah, they'll be meeting on Saturday, so that'll be fun to watch. Two ranked teams playing there. That'll be a good one, and you know maybe we can start flushing out the list a little bit more.
Well, and you know you were talking about how it's hard to judge a lot of things this early in the season. And then, you know, the Southeast bias, and I know that we'll probably hear a little bit on the girls' side when they see that USM with a 2-3-1 record are still in the top 10. But one thing that a lot of people aren't going to realize when they look at the record and you look at what the opponent win percentage that USM's been up against, their opponent's winning percentage is a 734 on the season in those six, from those six games. And so, that's one of the things that when I am going through and I'm looking at the records and everything else that, I do take into effect a little bit, when I'm tracking on the girls' side and casting my votes, is I take a look at what those winning percentages are for their opponents.
Well, I never...
Are we going to start talking strength and schedule already?
I don't have the calculator to figure out the winning percentages. All I know is that, yes, University School has three losses, and each of the three losses is to a team that is ranked ahead of them. Central Wisconsin, Eau Claire Altoona, and Bay Area. Yes. It's 1, 2, and 4. You would expect a team that is ranked number 8 to lose to a team that is in, 1, 2, or 4. So
yep. I mean, everybody.
You can't knock them out of the top 10 for losing to three of the top 4 teams. I mean, that's to be expected.
Yeah, I mean, everybody, whether it's a coach or a member of the WIP staff, is going to have their own criteria of what they do and don't vote for. But I think it would just be kind of common sense that if you lose to somebody who's ranked ahead of you, unless it's just embarrassing, it's not really going to count against you all that much. You're supposed to lose to somebody who's ranked ahead of you. That's why they're ranked ahead of you.
And then to get kind of follow along the lines of no common opponents, what do you do with a team like the Hudson girls team? They played 4 games against Minnesota opponents. They're 2-2. I mean, short of doing research to see where the teams that they played are ranked in Minnesota, I mean, some people will just say, oh, they're 2-2 against Minnesota teams, so they must be good, and rank them in the top 5, or will they say, well, they're 2-2, so we're going to bump them down to 9th or 10th, So yep. That's kind of a difficult situation as well.
No, it'll help that Friday, Hudson will be playing the Hayward Co-op, but then they don't play unless there's another one in the Schmitz-Mackey tournament over Christmas. They won't play another Wisconsin team until January 5th when they play Eau Claire Altoona, who is also highly ranked. So their first two Wisconsin games of the season are going to be against what are probably top 5 or 6 opponents.
Right, and we saw this happen last year. They did the same thing. I think they lost a whole bunch of games to start the season with, and if I remember right, they had...
It was every game.
was it like 0-5 or something, and they were still in the top 10, and people were wondering if we were nuts? Well, you know, they finished up okay. They did well, you know.
That doesn't mean we're not nuts.
Well, that's true.
Well, and the fun thing is you get to talk to Coach Yamachi and about the team and everything, and they do like to open their season up against the Minnesota teams. I think, like, their first five games this year, first six are, you know, over against Minnesota teams. And then when they come back over and play, of course, they're in the Big Rivers Conference. So you got, you know, six games there where you're going to play, you know, four of them between the ECA Stars and the Fusion. And it does make it nice to see them play and see what they actually turn into as the season progresses.
Right, and as the Superior Boys team has proven on a couple of occasions, you don't need to have a 25-0 record to win the state title. I mean, there's been a few times where Superior was a little bit over 500 and walked away with the big trophy. So, I mean,
probably a couple
it can,
times when
it
they
can happen.
Under 500 too.
Oh, well, just 2 years.
Was it
ago.
just once, right? But they, yeah. I mean, I remember they'd go down there back when it took 23 games to get there. They'd be 13-10 or 12-11, and people would say, "Oh man, you know, they're playing against this team that's 22-1." And well, Superior's in the championship game, and they're holding up the trophy afterwards. So the record doesn't always mean everything. And I think the Hudson girls team, that's kind of the situation that they're in right now. And like Dell said, Coach Greg likes to put his squad against some tough opponents early on just to get them built up and to see where they stand. And once the games against the Wisconsin teams come, it'll almost seem to them maybe a little easier in some cases. Not always, but they'll be battle proven, I think, at any point.
And shockingly, Burglar's memory was good. They opened last season 0-5 against Minnesota teams. Their first game in Wisconsin was against the Bay Area Ice Bears, who was probably ranked third or fourth in the state at the time. They skated to a 2-2 shy, and there was a one-shot margin between the two teams. So, you know, they opened their season 0-5, played a top-five team in Wisconsin, skated them to a tie right off the bat.
Funny how that works out. You're looking at the boys, honorable mention, you see Bayport, Eau Claire North, Kenosha, New Richmond, Notre Dame, and Waupun. Waupun's another one of those teams that just kind of nobody has really paid attention to, but, you know, they've got a very, very good goaltender.
Well, we should be paying attention to Waupun. I mean, they should have proven themselves last year. They had a very good season last year. Mm-hmm. Both in their conference and in their sectional, they are a legitimate team. So they really, yeah, everybody should know who they are from last year, unless we all have, you know, short memories.
Are they from Southeast Wisconsin?
No,
I did see them play last year in Southeast Wisconsin.
Yeah, last year they were 18-6, and I want to say they went to the sectional final. They beat Cedarburg, Homestead, and then they lost to USM in the sectional final.
Oh, so they did get stuck. They did get stuck in the Southeast section. One of them.
Yeah. Yeah, I remember watching them last year. Their goaltender's name slips my mind. I want to say his last name's Sauer, but remember seeing them against what's that?
Caleb Sauer.
Caleb Sauer, that's right.
Yes, remember, that would make his dad Jeff Sauer.
Yes, that does.
But not the Jeff Sauer.
No, but not the Jeff Sauer, correct.
Just a Jeff Sauer,
but he says they're not related.
Okay.
Not related, okay. Kenosha making an appearance in honorable mention.
The Thunder.
You know, that's that area down there. You know, you don't hear a whole lot about them. Kenosha down there, but J.R. Littke's been able to do some good things with that program over the last couple of years, and you know, maybe, you know, at least for this top 10 this week, getting some notice with the Thunder.
Well, because our focus has been more on, you know, the southeast portion of the state lately.
Lately? Okay.
Yeah. Yep. Southeastwisconsinpreparockey.net.
Okay, our upcoming games of the week brought to you by the Mayo Clinic Sports Medicine is the boys on Tuesday night. Waukesha travels in to see Janesville in a matchup of Section 7 finalists from last year. A terrific game last year. Ian Malcolmson scored both goals with just under 2.5 to go in the game. And Waukesha won that game 2-1. And on the girls' side, the Lakeshore Lightning takes on the Fox City Stars on Friday. Wisconsin Prep Hockey will have write-ups and plenty more about both those games. So on the boys' side, we've got Janesville and Waukesha. That'll be on Tuesday night. And then the Lakeshore Lightning and Fox City Stars, that will be on Friday night. We'll have coverage of both those games.
Yep. Well, we'll have coverage, you know, because that's where our focus is, you know, that southeast part.
Well, I go, I'm actually...
Janesville's kind of south-central.
Yeah, but Waukesha, I mean, South Central and South, you know, Waukesha, so together that kind of pushes towards the Southeast, and okay. Fox Cities, I mean, I'd never really considered Appleton to be Southeast, but I suppose you can kind of stretch it a little bit.
At this,
well, I'm looking forward to actually getting up there to the Lakeshore Fox Cities game. One, it's going to be my first time being to the Tri-City Arena, so that'll be new for me. But the other thing is actually going to watch this game, that'll mean I'll have seen 16 of the 32 girls' teams play this season.
All right, just so you don't go to the wrong rink, I think you want to go to the Tri-County Arena.
Okay, the Tri-County Arena.
Yeah.
I'd better make Tri-County Arena.
Just make sure you're at the right rink.
And if you're interviewing the coaches, just remember that Fox City's coach is Coach Fox.
Okay.
That's right. The Tri-City Arena, you would be out, I believe, in Kearney, Nebraska.
Yeah, I don't think my wife would appreciate that. I'm supposed to make it to a party on Saturday night.
Well, mercifully, this show is heading towards the end, and we got some final thoughts from a couple guys. Burglar and Trasher got a few things that are on their mind that really they really need to share with the world. So let's go ahead and give Burglar the microphone, and we'll dim the lights, and we'll let him go ahead and spill his guts to us. Bill, what's on your mind?
Are we going to dim the lights? Does that mean I have to do I have to slow jam this?
Sure.
Well, I'm not going to. No, we just if you hadn't been to the site, looked at any of the stats or the team pages, it took us. Couple of weeks, we got the stats widgets figured out and updated. So when you go to your team pages now, you should no longer see, the goal leader is the guy who graduated last year. It's all up to date and current. Thanks to all of the guys who, you know, updated their stats and Bill Jr. for not subjecting MJ to having to do that.
Thank God.
And Dell for picking up the slack on Trasher. Good. We got the stats updated. Everything's working fine. I think we have everything up to date. So if you're seeing anything goofy on the homepage, you don't, or any of the pages, everything should be working fine now. So if you see any issues or anything that just strikes you as being odd, Trasher@WisconsinPrepHockey.net. Send your complaints there.
He loves the attention.
I resemble that remark, but I also wanted to add that somebody, and I won't mention his name, Trasher, updated the state leaders at the bottom of the front page, so now they show the 2016-2017 seasons. You can go down there and see where your favorite player or you or your kid fit in, and hopefully they'll be there. But in any case,
actually,
the 16-17s are there.
I went to do that today and noticed it was updated. I sent a message to Junior. I said, "Did you update the the stat leaders on the front page? And he said, no. I said, well, who the heck would have done that? And he said, well, Trasher may have been able to do that.
Yeah, it was pretty easy.
Yeah.
I finally got one.
So then I did the full page of stat leaders that we have, you know, off of the stats column on the main menu.
Question for you guys.
And then while I was at that, I also mirrored it so that the Wisconsin Hockey Coaches Association has the current stat leaders on it also.
Oh, well, you went way above and beyond.
Oh, yeah. Mark Matthews is going to usually send me an email. Can you update that? And I've already got it done. Mark, if you're listening, it's done.
Yeah. What do you think, MJ?
I just clicked on the boys' goalie stats, and there is some last names that I just really don't know how to pronounce.
Then don't.
Well, MJ, I was going to ask you, is that goaltender slips your mind in the top 10 out there yet?
Yes, Caleb Sowery's right there. That's who we were talking about, right?
Yes.
Sure.
Yeah, that's who you're talking about. I was just figuring that you're going to go into your Abbott and Costello routine, except slips your mind was taking the place of who's on first.
Ah. I don't know who's on second.
Naturally.
But look at number five, Caleb Sauer. There he is. Just like that. I'm looking at the boys' varsity on the goalie stats. Can somebody tell me how the young man's last name is pronounced?
Max
is it Gutcher?
Jaden Hoople?
No, number one, Max Gutcher.
Phil Trzebiatowski. Max Gutjar?
Probably Gutjar. Gutjar. I'm sure the J, well, I'm not sure, but I would guess the J is pronounced like a Y, Gutjar.
Send your phonetic spelling to Trasher.
Yeah. WisconsinPrepHockey.net.
I like gut jar. That actually sounded pretty good.
Gut jar.
Yeah.
It's gut check time with gut jar.
Okay, well, a young Polish lad like myself has no problem spelling Phil Trzebiatowski. So,
okay,
I got that one. I got that one covered.
Okay.
Michael, go ahead and get your final thoughts out there.
Before the show completely goes off the rails?
Before it completely falls apart.
All right, well, we'll just give her a couple more minutes. It's that time of year when the Hobie Baker Foundation is sending out their information on the Hobie Baker High School Character Award, and the 2016-17 season will be the 12th year that the Hobie Baker Foundation has is going to award the Hobie Baker Character Award for high school hockey players in Wisconsin. The goal of the award is to develop, recognize, and reward exemplary character and sportsmanship. And this is an opportunity for all of the high schools, boys and girls, so you're talking 120 or thereabouts, to reward one of their players as a Hobie Baker High School Character Award winner. It's not necessarily a Best Player Award, but it's a Best Kid Award. You have to be a senior to win it. Jim Hayes of the Hobie Baker Foundation is going to be sending out information to the coaches, probably starting sometime in December, and he's going to send out reminders. And I believe that the deadline is February 4th, so here's a golden opportunity for your kids on your team, or if you're a parent or a fan or whatever, talk to your coach and say, hey, you know, do this. Because I think in the 11 years that have gone by, there has not been one single year when every team has had a recipient for this award. And basically, it's easy to do. You just have to fill out a nomination form. It's pretty basic. There's no cost. The Hobie Baker Foundation would like to have contributions if a booster organization can afford it to help with the costs involved with doing this. The winners of for each team will get a plaque, and it's actually a pretty cool thing. And if guys here have seen it, you know, close up, like when Emily played for the Red Panthers, was actually pretty cool. You know, they give an award and they have like a little movie that, you know, just a 5-minute film or something. So it's pretty cool, and it's a good way to honor your players. And usually it's not the best player on the team, but it's the best kid, a kid who's got high character and somebody that people look up to. So be watching for it to come out. There will be something on the website here before too long. Everybody can kind of read up on it, but it's something that everybody, all teams, should really honor their players. It's pretty cool, and I hope that we get a really good 100% participation this year, guys.
And, Trasher, one other thing on that is the program that they do at the state tournament, the winners from this season, their names do get listed in that state tournament, because the Hobie Baker does take out a page ad in the paper, in that program, and has them all listed.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, Wisconsin, or at least since we've been involved with it, because of us, Wisconsin, I think, has like the best participation of any of the states in terms of, you know, getting all of the teams involved.
Suck it, Minnesota.
Yeah, and Jim Hayes of the...
And you too, Michigan. Foundation.
Yeah, Jim Hayes says that all the time. He says, you know, we get emails from him 4, 5, 6 times a year thanking us and saying that basically we've done the best job to promote this award in the United States. So, yeah, I mean, we help out a little bit, but there's just a lot of people involved that think it's a good thing, and the coaches and the players and everything. So it's a joint effort, and it's I'd love to see 100% participation. So coaches, if you're listening, make sure you do this for your kids. Parents, fans, talk to your coaches or find out and, you know, get them to do it. It's a worthwhile thing. It's pretty cool, and I think it's a great honor for a kid to have. So that's all I got, guys.
Junior trying to start a border battle with Minnesota.
I'm just demonstrating why I'm not eligible for any kind of sportsmanship award.
And nobody's mentioned one peep about Illinois. Amazing.
Do they even play hockey in Illinois?
I mean, outside of Chicago?
Rockford, they do.
Do they even
they did.
Play
they,
in Chicago?
They you know, there is some schools in the Chicago area that play. You know, Rockford had the Rockford Icemen, which won a lot of state championships down there. They don't even have a team this year.
Yeah, moving right along.
Yeah, that's Illinois.
Yeah,
they can get their own Illinois with rephockey.net, but we'll stick with what we got.
All right.
Well, guys.
Speaking of Illinois, the Bears still suck. Just wanted to get that out there.
Intelligent conversation from Bill Berg, a.k.a. the Burglar. We're the Burglar Boys. For Trasher, Del Scanlon, and Mike Hammett. I think you've heard enough of this show. Catch you next week on This Week in Wisconsin Prep Hockey.